Yalla Leap Podcast.
Yalla Leap Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
In a minute. Sean Spears. Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast right here on the WWE Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Johnson. Hope all you guys are doing well, staying safe. You know, everything's starting to open up again a little bit. So, you know, hope you guys are out there having a good time, being responsible. You know, that's always something you need to keep in mind, is to don't go out there and be crazy. But, you know, guys, I hope you guys are being safe. I'm really looking forward to this week's show, guys. We have some really good stuff coming on announced for Dynamite this week. The new AEW Women's Champion Hikaru Shida will be in action. AEW World Champion Jon Moxley will be appearing. We have a Battle Royal to determine the number one contender for the TNT Championship held by the inaugural champion Cody Rhodes. We have an update on the condition of Dr. Britt Baker, or DMD. She'll be appearing on camera to talk to us and let us know how she's doing. As of this past weekend, Tony Khan did say that she's only going to be out for about 8 weeks. So hopefully that's the timetable. Hopefully that Britt doesn't come out and, you know, give us some bad news about maybe that it's worse than we originally thought. So we'll definitely be hearing from Britt to see what she has to say. We have Iron Mike Tyson showing back up again this week. You know, I thought his was going to be a one-off at Double or Nothing, but Iron Mike's in the house for Dynamite tonight. And we got a big six-man tag team match pitting Joey Janela and Private Party, taking on the team of the Bucks of Youth and Broken Matt Hardy. So that's going to be a really fun match to see all six of those guys together. Private Party and the Young Bucks have had some incredible matches together, so I'm expecting this match to just be fireworks all over, you know, all over the arena. You know, the return of Matt and Nick Jackson inside an AEW ring. You know, I know we got him at the Stadium Stampede match this past weekend, but this is the first time we're going to get them back in the ring, so I'm really excited to see what they can do. So, yeah, guys, we got a really action-packed show for tonight. And we also have the Inner Circle Pep Rally, which is going to be great because it's led by the great Chris Jericho and all the members of the Inner Circle. So, yeah, guys, I'm really looking forward to Dynamite. I hope you guys are, too. Before we get started, though, guys, I got to tell you guys to make sure to subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all of your podcasting platforms, whether that be Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, wherever you guys listen to all your podcasts. Make sure you guys subscribe. And for all you guys on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. You know, listen to the other shows. Tell us what you think about it. Tell us what you think about this show. Hopefully you guys enjoy this one and all the shows that are on the feed. Everybody works really hard and puts a lot of great content out to you, for you guys throughout the week. So, hey, make sure you guys leave us a review. Let us know what you guys think. All right, guys, without any further ado, let's get into it. Let's start this week's edition of AEW Dynamite. So this week's episode of Dynamite starts out with a huge six-man tag team match, putting Private Party and Joey Janela taking on the team of the Young Bucks and Matt Hardy. There was a pre-taped segment before this match between the Young Bucks and Matt Hardy, where the Young Bucks kept telling Hardy they want a certain persona of Matt Hardy to be a part of this match. And we end up getting one of, like, the original Hardy Boy Matt Hardy, even before Team Extreme, pre-Matt Hardy for this match. You know, very Young Buckish type in a type of way. So it was really cool to see this version of Matt Hardy, and he looked really good in this match. This match was everything you expected it to be. It was very fast-paced. It was, you know, high energy the entire time. Matt Hardy ended up hitting a moonsault on all three members, three of their opponents. There was a spot in this match that was pretty newsworthy. Nick Jackson went for a super kick on, I think it was Joey Janela, and Joey moved, and Butcher and the Blade were both in the crowd, and the super kick ended up connecting with Butcher, and it led to a little scrum between the Butcher and the Blade and the Young Bucks. They end up getting under control, and after this, the match picked up again, and Private Party took advantage. Both members of Private Party hit a flipping senton over the top rope to the floor, and it looked like that Mark Quinn ended up tweaking his ankle in this match, or in this spot. I can't tell if it was legit, or if it was a storyline injury, but he was selling it big time, and he ended up getting helped up by Matt Hardy after the match and sent to the back. So, you know, definitely going to keep an eye on to see the condition of Mark Quinn going forward. But after that injury, the Young Bucks and Matt Hardy took over in the match, and the Young Bucks ended up hitting more bang for your buck for the victory. So your winners are the Young Bucks and Matt Hardy. After the match is when it got really interesting, though. We got a run-in by the Butcher and the Blade after Private Party got taken to the back after the injury. And we had a nice little brawl between both teams. All of a sudden, you hear an engine revving in the background. The camera pans over to see this kind of an older truck pull up. And out comes the former Revival, the Revolt, Dashwood, and I can't remember their. It'll take me a couple weeks to get their new names down, but I'm gonna call them Dawson and Wilder for now, just until I can get their new names down. But Dawson and Wilder show up, the former Revival from the WWE. They get in the ring and they walk right past Butcher and Blade, go straight to the Young Bucks. They grab the Young Bucks, look like they're about to hit him, but then they turn around and attack Butcher and the Blade. They fight off Butcher and Blade. Butcher and Blade fight back, and the Young Bucks intervene, hit super kicks on him, and Wilder and Dawson hit the Shatter Machine to get Butcher and Blade out of the ring. Sorry, I'm really excited about this. Like, this segment was really well done. After this, there was a face-off between the Revolt and the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks extended their hand, and the Revolt walked away. So the Revolt, formerly the Revival, are officially in All Elite Wrestling now. We kind of knew it was coming. We have been waiting for it. There have been some teases on being the Elite when it comes to the Revolt, but this is the first time they've actually shown up on Dynamite. So congratulations to these guys for being here. I'm really excited to see them. I've been wanting this for a long time. I know a lot of people have. I know Wilder and Dawson have wanted this for a long time as well. So, this just enhances the tag team division even more, because in my opinion, the Revolt are one of the best tag teams in the world. They looked incredible. They're moving around the ring great. They hit a spike pile driver. I didn't mention they hit a spike pile driver on Butcher, I think, during the scrum earlier. So just a great segment all around. Dynamite opened up with a huge bang. My words are running together because I'm so excited about this to see the Revolt here, but, we're getting it, guys. I know a lot of y'all have been wanting this too. You guys have been looking forward to it, but the Revolt are here, and they're going to be making some big splashes in the tag team division. They're going to up this division even more than it already is, and they're not wasting any time. I think we're going to get the Revolt and the Young Bucks sooner than later. So, yeah, guys, wow. If you guys haven't watched this segment, make sure you do, because it is huge. The match was great in itself. I know I'm kind of overshadowing the match, but the match was really good as well. But the aftermatch is what was the most newsworthy, and it's definitely going to stick out, and it was a great debut for the Revolt. So up next, we got the AEW Dynamite debut of the number one contender, Brian Cage. I know that's a weird sentence to say, making your Dynamite debut and also being the number one contender for the AEW World Championship, but that's what Brian Cage is right now. He was the mystery opponent in the casino ladder match at Double or Nothing this past weekend, and he came in and dominated that match and became the number one contender. And the shocking part about this was not just his debut, but the fact that he's got former world champion Taz in his corner as his manager. And I think this is an awesome, awesome pairing. I talked about this during the breakdown show this past weekend for Double or Nothing, that Taz is going to do a lot of good things for Brian Cage. Cage is a good talker as it is. We've seen in other companies, but Taz is an elite talker. No pun intended, of course. And Taz is going to add such a huge element to Brian Cage and to his character. So we got the debut of Brian Cage. He went against Lee Johnson. It was a quick match, just dominant showing by Brian Cage. He hits his finisher, which the name of it is eluding me right now. But pretty much it's the old Steiner screwdriver. I know a lot of you that are gamer fans and play the old No Mercy games and stuff like that. A lot of y'all probably use this move as your finisher because it sets up like a Falcon Arrow, but he drops him into a pile driver out of it. It's a devastating move, but it is a move that a really strong guy like Brian Cage can do. He's built very similar to how Scott Steiner's built, so it's a move he can pull off on a bunch of different people. But very quick match, quick win, a quick debut for Brian Cage. John Moxley was actually on commentary during this match, and after it, Taz gets on the microphone and tells Moxley that he better bring it. at Fyter Fest for their match, and he better bring his heart for Sherry, because Cage is going to rip the heart out of him. And it was a really good quick promo from Taz. Taz showed a lot of intensity, and really the only way that Taz can, and just showed the dynamic that Taz is going to bring to this duo. And, you know, that's going to be a really interesting match when it happens, because Brian Cage is just, he's a monster. He's very agile. He's a complete pro wrestler. So he's going to bring a different aspect to the match than we saw with Moxley and Brody Lee. Taking nothing from Brody Lee, their match was very, very good at Double or Nothing, very physical. But Brian Cage brings a different, just he's a different animal. That's the only way that I can put it. So their match is going to be awesome once Fyter Fest happens. They still haven't, as of right now, I told you guys I'm going to give you an update. I haven't seen an update on when Double or Nothing is going to be, or Double or Nothing, I'm sorry, Fyter Fest is going to be. Hopefully by the end of Dynamite, we get some answers, though, and we know exactly when that show is going to be. But what we do know is that show is going to be headlined by AEW World Champion Jon Moxley defending his title against the number one contender, Brian Cage. Up next, we are joined by Britt Baker, DMD, giving us the big update on her condition. So we thought she was going to. She's wheeled out in a wheelchair, and she has her big notepad, I guess you can say, her little flip pad that she uses during her promos in her dentist office. And she pretty much was saying it's a conspiracy against her why she got hurt, and blamed Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida and Nyla Rose all on her injury, and then pretty much made it seem like that the mastermind behind the whole thing is referee Aubrey Edwards, which I thought was weird at first until she explained it. And she said that when she got the concussion last year, I think it was at Fight for the Fallen, Aubrey was the referee, and then when she broke her leg last week, Aubrey was the referee, and then she mentioned her nose getting broken. But Aubrey wasn't with the referee for that one, but she said that Aubrey was somewhere, so she blamed her for that too. So Britt Baker is pretty much saying that it's a conspiracy why she got hurt, and that she is, you know, there is no women's division without her. And it was a good promo. It was a little weird. Like, there was a couple of moments that there was a couple dead air moments that just seemed a little unorganized. I don't know if that was what they were going for, if just a couple things didn't quite go the way that they were expecting it to, but you know, but the segment was okay, and they got through it all right. And at the very end, Britt said that she will be back for All Out, which is in 3 months, which is great. So we did get a little bit of an update from her. She did say she had a broken tibia, which we heard from the doctor at Double or Nothing. So she did reiterate that as well. So thankfully, this isn't a serious injury. It is. I shouldn't say it's not a serious injury. It is a serious injury, but it's not as bad as we thought originally it was going to be, because at first people were saying 7 to 10 months. You know, there was some bad ligament damage. She was going to be out for a long time, but it looks like that's not going to be the case, thankfully. So, you know, All Out is in 3 months, and she said she's going to be back. So that, you know, that 8-week period they were talking about is probably more about right. But probably give it a little leeway just in case there's any kind of setback or anything with it. So that's why she said she'll be back for for All Out. So, you know, good segment here. I did like it. And this is what she's going to be doing every week, is something like this, just to keep being that cocky heel, keeping this role model gimmick going. And they should. This is what they should do with her, because they definitely shouldn't keep her off TV for 8 weeks. If they do that, then that's going to be a big mistake, because, you know, she has really taken the ball and ran with this role model gimmick and this heel persona. This is where she is very, very comfortable, and she's doing a very good job with it. So I like what they're doing with this. But yeah, the segment, it was what it was. There was something very, very weird about it. It was a little bit off, kind of hard to explain. But, you know, Britt ended up getting it under control, and she gave a good promo. So it was good to see her, and it was good to get the update. So, hey, we'll see Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, back at All Out. Up next, we got a backstage interview with the entire group of the Inner Circle, led by Chris Jericho, of course. Jericho's pretty much giving a pep talk to his guys, trying to keep their spirits up, and talking about the big pep rally they have coming up later in the night, where they're going to have cheerleaders and streamers and banners and fireworks and a band. And he mentioned everything that's going to be a part of this, just to kind of, he's trying to keep the Inner Circle spirits up after their defeat to the Elite in the Stadium Stampede match at Double or Nothing. As this promo is going on, we see Orange Cassidy walk behind them, just slowly walk by, and stops Jericho in his tracks, and Jericho kind of watches him, and looks over at Alex Marvez and the other group members and asks if that really just happened. And Jericho told Orange Cassidy and off screen, or I told him off screen, he said, "All right, Orange, we'll see you later." So, not a good move by Orange Cassidy. It looks like the Inner Circle's got their crosshairs on him. So I'm figuring by the time this night is over, Orange Cassidy's going to have some kind of confrontation with the members of the Inner Circle. Back in the arena, we got the AEW Women's Champion, Hikaru Shida, making her first appearance on Dynamite with the AEW Women's Championship in tow. And she's going against the Dynamite debuting Christy Janes. She's had one match on AEW so far, and it was on AEW Dark against Big Swole back in February. But this is her Dynamite debut. And, you know, this was another match very similar to the Brian Cage match earlier. It was a quick match to showcase Hikaru Shida. Janes got a little bit of offense in, not a whole lot, but it was enough to show that she's got some potential. And I like some of the things she does. But Hikaru Shida ended up hitting a running Shining Wizard and a Falcon Arrow to get the victory show. So just a good showcase here for Hikaru to get her shown on Dynamite with the title. Not sure who her first opponent's going to be for her first defense. I'm still thinking Nyla Rose is going to be one of those. I wish it was Britt Baker, but unfortunately that's going to be a little ways down the line. I guess if Britt is back by All Out, they could do Britt and Shida. But if I had to guess, it would probably be a rematch with Nyla Rose. Chris Statlander, I know, is floating around too. She'll be in that discussion as well, but... a good showing here by Shida. She looks really good. I thought the match with Big Swole with Nyla Rose at Double or Nothing was awesome. It was very hard hitting. It was a great match. You guys can go back and listen to my breakdown of that if you guys want to from this past weekend. But I'm all on board for Shida being the champion. I think she's got a great look. She's great in the ring. She's been on a roll over the last couple of months. She's been. You know, Britt Baker may be the face of the women's division, but it's pretty much been on the shoulders of Shida. She's the one that's been showing up every week. She's been putting on great matches, and I've been very, very impressed with her. I became a big fan of her over the last few weeks, so I think she's going to be a great champion. I think she's going to be a champion for a while, too. I can tell they really like her a lot, and I think the crowd's really, when the crowds start coming back, they're really going to get behind her as well. So, good showing here by Shida. Up next, we got the arrival of the new TNT champion, Cody Rhodes. And this is a good little quick promo by Cody. Cody pretty much came out and gave praise to his mom, saying that Dustin got all the dusty traits, but his mom is a tough lady too, and she taught him a lot of things that he knows. And one of the things that she taught him is to be, the hardest worker that he can be. So he announced that he will be defending the TNT championship every single week. On Dynamite. So your TNT championship is going to be pretty much like a television title, like we saw back in the old WCW days, where Cody plans to making open challenges to defend that TNT title every single week. So this is really cool. And this is what I was hoping they were going to do with this title is, have that one major mid-card, I guess, for lack of a better term, title to defend every single week. So I like this. I like that we're going to get a lot of Cody in the ring because Cody is a great wrestler. But this is also going to give opportunities to younger guys, too, to get them showcased in some title matches. And, whoever does beat Cody for the title, it's going to do a lot for them. So, great promo here by Cody. He showed a lot of passion and showed some good babyface fire with this. And I'm excited to see who's going to be his first opponent because we will find that out by the end of the night because we have a battle royal coming up tonight to determine who will be the first number one contender for that championship against Cody next week on Dynamite. So we have a very interesting tag team matchup next, pitting members of SCU, Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky, taking on the team of Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian. And which, on surface doesn't seem like a crazy matchup or anything, but they're saying that this is a pretty much a number one contenders match to see who will face Hangman Page and Kenny Omega next week on Dynamite. And the reason that's weird is because the buy-in match at Double or Nothing this past weekend saw the Best Friends become the number one contenders for the tag team titles. They tried to explain before when the match started that Best Friends are going to be getting their shot at Fyter Fest for the tag team titles. But it's really weird that they would do this because you would think that the Best Friends as the number one contenders would get the first shot. But that's not looks like that's not going to be the case, that they're going to be getting their shot at Fyter Fest. So the winner of this match will be getting the opportunity next week against Omega and Paige. This match started off really well. I thought SCU was going to kind of run through this. They were on fire like the first 5 or 6 minutes of this match, just taking it to Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian. But Sabian and Havoc fought back and ended up making this a really good competitive match. At the end, SCU was setting up for the SCU later when Penelope Ford got involved and grabbed Frankie Kazarian's foot to distract him. That gave Jimmy Havoc time to come in and shove Kazarian out, and then Havoc hits a Michinoku driver at the same time as Kip Sabian hits a running dropkick, and in a very big upset, Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc defeat SCU and are now technically the number one contenders for the World Tag Team Championships. I was surprised to see this. You know, this is a very big win for Sabian and Havoc because they've been very up and down. You really haven't had a whole lot of momentum. SCU's the former tag team champions, they're the first tag team champions. So, yeah, I was not expecting this. I was expecting a big SCU win, you know, have the big rematch next week, but that's not where they're going. They gave this win to Sabian and Havoc, and you could see a very, very distraught Scorpio Sky in the ring afterwards, and he was not happy because he was the one that took the pinfall in this match. So I'm starting to wonder if we're going to get a little bit of movement when it comes to SCU. You know, I've been saying for a while that I expected Scorpio Sky to kind of branch off on his own and have a singles run, and maybe that's where they're going to start going, that, you know, he wants either him or Kazarian, I guess anybody, Daniels too, any of the three, you know, could become a singles competitor. But you know, this is a tough loss for them, and I wonder if we're going to start seeing some cracks in the foundation of SCU after this loss. It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. But you know, the story of this match, well, though, was the big victory for Sabian and Havoc. So they will be facing Kenny Omega and Hangman Page next week on Dynamite for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. And they said whoever wins that match will be facing the best friends at Fyter Fest. So, you know, we're getting some clarity on the tag team division for right now. You know, we saw the Revolt FTR debut earlier. You know, got the Young Bucks are back. I mean, this tag team division's really taken off. And I think once we get closer to Fyter Fest, you know, we're really going to see where all the tag teams stand. And especially after Fyter Fest, heading towards All Out. Yeah, this tag division's really, really going to take off again. And, you know, if we start seeing some fans showing up between now and then also, that's just going to make it even better. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the future of the tag team division. But for the present, it looks like, you know, Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc are on the radar. And they get a big opportunity next week on Dynamite. So next on the docket, we got our big battle royal to determine the number one contender for the TNT Championship for next week on Dynamite. There's some pretty big names in this one. We have all members of Jurassic Express, MJF and Wardlow, of course. I'm looking here at everybody in the ring. Sonny Kiss, Billy Gunn was invited to be a part of this as well. Colt Boom Boom Cabana, and it looks like Peter Avalon as well. You know, there's some mid card guys in there, but there's some big names in there as well. MJF is the number one ranking this week. And this match was a lot of MJF and Wardlow just dominating. We did end up getting a face off between Wardlow and Luchasaurus. That was really cool. That was pretty hard hitting. I forgot to mention when Orange Cassidy was coming out, he was actually jumped from behind by the Inner Circle, and they laid him out as soon as the match started. So Orange Cassidy was originally supposed to be in this match, but he got laid out before the match started. And like I said, there's a lot of MJF and Wardlow running roughshod, eliminating people left and right. And it actually came down to MJF and Wardlow against Jungle Boy. And they were about to eliminate him when Orange Cassidy slowly crawled back in the ring, tapped MJF on the shoulder, and they started fighting. Well, Orange Cassidy and Jungle Boy end up getting the upper hand when MJF tried to hit Orange Cassidy with the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Orange Cassidy moved, and MJF struck Wardlow with it. This distracted MJF enough for Jungle Boy, to grab MJF and eliminate him over the top. So MJF is gone and not the number one contender. Well, after this happens, Jungle Boy and Orange Cassidy look at each other, see Wardlow lean against the ropes. So they grab him and dump him over as well. So two big eliminations for Jungle Boy and for Orange Cassidy. So they're the last two in this match. And I mentioned earlier how, you know, a younger talent could really benefit from this TNT title, and AEW sees the same thing, obviously, because they gave these one of these two guys the opportunity to face Cody next week, and it was a fun back and forth exchange with these both these guys. It didn't last real long, but it was fun for the time that we got. And Jungle Boy ended up hitting a Hurricane Rana over the top rope to Orange Cassidy, and as they're both flying over, Jungle Boy grabs the top rope to hold his balance as Orange Cassidy hits the floor. And so your winner and number one contender for the TNT Championship is Jungle Boy. And I'm pretty excited to see this because I'm a big Jungle Boy fan. I think he is one of the biggest rising stars in AEW, and I think this is going to be a huge opportunity for him against Cody next week. I don't see MJF winning the match because Cody just made the announcement. He's the brand new champion, you know, and announced earlier tonight that he was going to be defending it every week. So I don't see Jungle Boy winning next week, but I think it'd be a very competitive match. I think these guys are going to have an incredible match together. And I don't think Jungle Boy will quite get the job done. I think Cody will take it, but it's going to be a good platform for Jungle Boy. We saw the same thing when Darby Allin got that opportunity against Cody, and it really boosted his stock a lot. So I think the same thing happens for Jungle Boy next week. That's going to be a sleeper match, you know, for a lot of people, because they're going to see that, and casual fans are going to see that and think, you know, yeah, I mean, it's two good workers, but, you know, don't know a whole lot. A lot of people don't know a whole lot about Jungle Boy, but I think these two are going to have incredible chemistry together. It's going to be a very exciting match and probably going to be the main event next week. So, yeah, Jungle Boy versus Cody, and Cody's first out of title defense for the TMT Championship next week on Dynamite. So it is time for our main event segment of the night. We have the pep rally that's being hosted by the Inner Circle. And this was a very up and down segment for me. You know, it kind of reminded me of one of their first few segments they had, where they were giving each other some gifts and stuff like that. It was late last year when they had this segment, and it kind of started off the same way. Like they were bringing some items into the ring and giving each other gifts and trying to prop each other up. And, you know, it was okay, but it was kind of slow. You know, it really didn't grab my attention, but not long after that, it definitely grabbed my attention when Chris Jericho just looked into the camera and said, "I want Mike Tyson's head on a platter." And he said that, and I was like, just, whoa, kind of, I don't want to say woke me up, you know, because I was awake watching this, but it really like just added a different intensity to this promo. And Jericho just started running down Mike Tyson, saying that he was blaming Tyson for something that happened to him back in 2010. He said in 2010 on Monday night, so it was when he was on Raw. And I'll have to do some research, or you guys can message me on Twitter to let me know exactly what happened that night. I know Mike Tyson knocked him out, and I think it was something to do with the championship. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I do know that Mike Tyson knocked Jericho out that night. So Jericho's bringing that back up 10 years later here on AEW Dynamite for the reason for wanting Tyson's head on the platter. Well, Tyson and his entourage made their way out, and I recognized a couple of guys being an MMA fan. Triple C, Henry Cejudo was there. Vitor Belfort was there. There's a couple of other guys, but some big time MMA fighters in his crew. So that was kind of cool to see them, you know, with me being a big MMA fan myself. But this was, I was starting to get some flashbacks a little bit. Like I've seen this before. I've seen this promo exchange somewhere before. And Jericho was, you know, kind of got in Tyson's face, telling Tyson to shut up, telling Tyson to do something about it. And he told Tyson he wanted an apology. Of course, Tyson didn't apologize. He ripped his shirt off and was kind of acting a fool a little bit and was flexing in front of Jericho and told Jericho pretty much he wasn't going to apologize to him. Well, Tyson gave Jericho kind of a soft shove, and Jericho shoved Tyson back, and that's when they tried going at each other, and the entire locker room emptied out and was separating them, and it looked very, very similar to Austin and Tyson back in 99. I was, you know, it was very similar. If you put them side by side, then, you know, you guys could definitely see it. I thought this was an okay segment. I'm normally a pretty positive person when it comes to this, but I did think this was kind of a weak main event segment. I think this would have been more efficient earlier in the night. I know their mindset is, you know, Jericho and Tyson, where, you know, they're trying to re-spark that and try to get that same spark WWE got back in the day with this. I didn't feel it. I really didn't. it was okay for what it was. Jericho and Tyson doesn't quite excite me the way that Austin Tyson did back in the day, just because, you know, Jericho's great and he's one of the best things in wrestling right now, but Steve Austin was just on a different level back then. Mike Tyson was on a different level back then. So, you know, it just, I don't know. I guess I'll give it a chance. I'll let it play out and I'll see how it goes and, you know, where they go from here. Honestly, guys, it didn't excite me a whole lot. And, you know, I hate to end the podcast on kind of a downer, because normally AEW does so good with their closing segments and we get some really good stuff, some good cliffhangers and some good visuals to kind of, you know, hold you over to next week. And the visual of the entire locker room, you know, coming out and separating them, it did look cool. And I liked how they did it. But just the fact of Jericho and Tyson just... it doesn't excite me a whole lot, guys, to be completely honest with you. But like I said, you know, I'll give it a chance. I'll give it a couple weeks and see if I can, you know, if I can get behind it. I just, man, this felt a little flat for me. I'll be completely honest with you guys. But, you know, overall, I thought Dynamite was a pretty good show. You know, this was the first episode after Double or Nothing. I'm really excited about Brian Cage and Moxley coming up at Fyter Fest. You know, the tag team title scene starting to take shape. We get Jungle Boy and Cody next week for the TNT title. So, I mean, there's some good stuff going on. And, you know, I hate ending the podcast on a downer, because normally I'm so upfront and, you know, positive and stuff like that. But hey, this is kind of how it was tonight, just kind of how the show ended. But I'm sure they'll get back going. AEW does some really good stuff, and they'll do a good job of building the storyline up before Jericho and Tyson do finally, you know, come to head. So, yeah, we'll see where they go from here. All right, guys. Thanks again, guys, for listening. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed Dynamite as well. Again, guys, make sure you guys subscribe to the WWE podcast on all of your podcasting platforms, and make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you guys think about the shows. And until next week, guys, hope you guys have a great one, and I will see you then. Take care.